And welcome back to Two Chicks and a Horror Flick. I'm Tawny Ray.
And I'm Felicia Connor.
And today, our movie that we're going to be talking about is The Predator 2018, the sequel? So, yes. I don't have a little sticky note like Felicia had last episode, but I will say, no, don't keep listening if you don't want to hear spoilers. And
you're doing great, Tawny. Just keep it going.
Thank you. I'm going to just try to wing it just by memory. You tell me if I miss anything because you got the sticky note, but let me try it.
Yeah.
We also cuss a lot in case you're listening to this in your car and you are not able to see the little explicit tag. Mm-hmm. Prepare your butthole for lots of cursing. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that was it. I just mentioned that we talk about horror. If you're surprised by that, I don't know what to say, but we do talk about horror. So everything, you know, blood, slashing, guts, you know, boobs,
lots of stuff.
We don't talk about boobs a lot, but I know that eventually
it'll be there. There's going to be some boob scenes for sure at some point. So what are you drinking over there?
Okay. So I wanted to change it up, even though dirty martinis are my favorite. My second favorite drink is, old fashions. So I've done this before. So it's not like a, whoa, Felicia. So I have old fashioned, with Maker's Mark again. Yeah. He used Maker's Mark for it.
I also reverted back. I last episode drank the beer and the beer was great tasting, but beer makes me so burpy. It just can't handle it. I found myself muting because now we have the ability to mute. And so I'm like muting myself anytime I have to burp. So I just went back to the old tried and true. I went back to some, you know, this Buffalo Trace, which actually, I mean, I already told you this, but I'm just gonna say it again. Buffalo Trace is very good. I almost don't even need to chase it. It's very smooth.
Snap.
It's good. I highly recommend it. It's a very good whiskey. So that's what I got going on. And for the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but I got my new set of horror shirts. So I'm going to share mine with you today. And you can tell the people not looking what it says.
Sanderson Witch Museum, home of the Black Flame Candle. That is badass. I love it.
Was like, I need to buy that. I saw my friend Nikki on Instagram had something. So it's either this exact same shirt or it's like very, very similar. And you'll find this out as we go through the shirts that I actually ordered. I'm a big fan of the shirt that you wouldn't think is like a horror shirt right off. I kind of like the subtlety, you know? I like that somebody would have to be like looking at it for a second to be like, oh shit, yeah. So you'll see that as a theme coming up in the next shirts. But
I totally agree with you. I love those type of shirts too. And I'll show you my shirt, but it's not. I ordered two horror shirts and they were canceled randomly by Amazon. So then I was going to order them again or reorder them, and they weren't going to come until later. And so, I don't have another horror shirt besides what I just wore, but I am wearing this
McNally's because Ireland is everywhere. Irish pub.
So, yeah, that's it. But something new about me, I am obsessed with Ireland. I must have lived a past life there. I've never been. I want to go. It's a bucket list. I love it. I follow so many people that have pictures of Ireland and they just take pictures of it. And the rain is my favorite weather. So if it's Ireland and the rain, God, I'm losing my shit. And so I just follow these accounts with pictures. And I'm writing a novel, a fiction novel, and it is set in Ireland. And I mean, it has nothing to do with my shirt, really. I just put it on and I liked it. But it's a little background of I'm really obsessed with Ireland and I've never been.
Bitch, I just learned two brand new things about you. I, first of all, didn't know that you were obsessed with Ireland. That's crazy. Wait, I learned three things about you. Two, that you love the rain, which is you're an insane person. I fucking hate the rain. It's too gloomy. It's terrible. That's just my opinion. Three, I did not know your novel was fiction.
Yes, yes. My novel, I've always wanted to write a book. And I feel like because of things like, you know, things I went through in the past, I thought, oh, I should be writing something that's like self-help or something like that. But it never really happened because I don't know, because it wasn't right. I do know, because it wasn't the right thing. And so after a lot of discovery, and I'm working with this like writing coach, I always keep a long list of books I want to write, and they're like all over. I have a thriller book, like a murder mystery. I have like all these different ideas, and this book idea came to me, and just like, I dream about it. I dream about the characters. I'm like, I'm so excited about this. And, this little retreat I'm doing actually with this writing coach, you work with her, you finish your book in 4 months. It's done.
Wow.
So okay. I'm excited about it. And yeah. The rain, always, my whole life. Like if it's raining and I wake up, I am immediately happy the whole day. Like it's just, it literally, I'm happy the whole day. And one of my fondest memories I remember is being a teenager, which was a really rough time for me, and curling up under my window with the rain pounding on the window, reading It.
Oh, okay.
And I think so that whole thing, that's I think maybe why I'm so obsessed with Stephen King too. Stephen King, the rain, those things are just very comforting to me. And they were comforting several, you know, multiple times throughout my life as I was growing up and going through some hard times. So don't shit on the rain, Tawny.
No, you're right. You're right.
Just it's kidding. Just,
you're right. No, it's just the opposite for me. Like I don't like – I like – the first day that it snows, like there's something about, I don't know what it is. I mean, growing up in Colorado, it snows quite a bit, but it also melts the next day. But there's something about the first day that it snows a lot and you have to make whatever drive to work and you make it without any incident. That day always for me feels like a major triumph. And so that day is a really great day for me. But in general, I do not like gloomy weather. I prefer the sun. Like I need sun to feel like good and happy and stuff. And so like when it starts to get gloomy, rainy, snowy, all of that, I definitely get the sad, the seasonal, what does it stand for? Seasonal something depression.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, though. I know what you're talking about. People in Seattle get it. And I really think I would thrive there. I think I would thrive in Seattle. And people are just like, no, if you were here and it rained all the time, I am pretty like significantly obsessed with the rain. It feels, especially when it's just rained. So everything's wet and it smells really, really good, but it's not raining anymore. So it's not, you know, you're not getting drenched and stuff, but it's cloudy. My favorite color is gray. And I'm a very happy person and a positive person. So it's not like I'm like walking around all morbid or anything. I just like, if it's raining, if I wake up and I have a migraine and it's raining, I'm going to have a good day.
Oh my God. That's so weird. Okay. I also like gray. I have a lot of gray things, but my favorite color is yellow and I'm just sunshine.
Right.
It makes me happy.
Sunshine, tawny rays of sunshine. And your Instagram's gorgeous. I do love yellow and it's your whole page is just so pretty. And gray. I remember my kid, my little one was like, Mommy, what's your favorite color? Because she wanted to color me this picture. And I'm like, gray. She's like, oh, how about purple? Like, okay.
How do you feel about purple? Or blue like a normal motherfucking person.
Yeah.
Okay. Anywho. I want to know real quick.
Yeah.
Just the quickest of quicks. Just tell me, how is the rest of Monsterland? Because I happen to know that you stayed up very late watching some other episodes, and I want to know if it keeps being good. I still haven't watched beyond the second episode.
So I only was able to – I need to upgrade. I only watched two more episodes because I have the Hulu with commercials, which drives me crazy. But we have so many subscriptions. You know what I mean? Like we're subscribed to everything, but I may have to because they're coming out with some really good shit. So I have to take into account all the damn commercials, but the next two episodes, they were good. I'll have to say, I won't give spoilers. Don't worry anybody, but episode 3 was also like really, dude,
I don't want them to all be like that.
It was like, I think I could tell you this without it being, without giving anything away, but it had to deal with a mom and her new husband, and he, and was okay. Well, that might spoil it. It just had to do with a mom and her new husband and him being accused of being a pedophile.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's a way more than I bargained for.
So I saw that and was like, fuck. Okay. Well, I'm going to watch the next one. Okay, that's like, actually, now that I say that, a really weird way to think. I'm going to watch the next one because I don't want to be left with that going to bed. So I'm going to watch another Monsterland instead of let's watch Friends or let's watch Parks.
Well, but you don't know. The next one could be.
Because the first two ones were, they were heavy, but it wasn't like that for me. That one was like, I didn't want to end it there. So I watched the next one and that was good too. And they all are dealing with our deep monsters or our deep fears. So they are going to be heavy for us. I think there's, you know, it's good though, but it's heavy.
Okay.
I'm going to finish them. I'm curious because it's the human psyche, you know, and our own inner demons. So I want to see all the demons that they cover.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, I just think from the first two episodes, it's going to be a great series. It's going to be a dark, heavy series, but it's going to be good. And so I have to finish it. But I also started watching The Haunting of Bly Manor. Ooh. And I don't have much to say about it other than, like, I like the character so far. It seems promising. I'm excited. I've only watched the first, like, three episodes, so we'll see where that one ends up, but, yeah.
That's good. Okay.
So, let's chat about
The Predator. Let's chat about this movie.
Okay. So, let me give you the synopsis. When a young boy accidentally triggers the universe's most lethal hunters return to Earth. Only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled scientist can prevent the end of the human race. So the director of this movie is Shane Black. Did I say it was 2018? It was done in 2018, I didn't say that. Okay. Shane Black has also done, among other movies, I wrote down the ones I recognized, Iron Man 3 and The Nice Guys, which I have not seen. Ryan Gosling in it, I think. And so I will watch it at some point.
Ryan Gosling is good.
He is one of my faves. Okay.
Charlie Hunnam is my fave.
Yes. Charlie Hunnam.
You're like, your I know fave? Felicia. I mean, my fave, my ultimate fave is my husband.
Oh, okay.
The second runner-up is Charlie Hunnam.
That's very nice of you.
So for those that are listening that didn't see it, Tawny totally just stuck her finger down her throat and gave me a gag motion.
No, that was nice. That was all kidding aside. That was very cute. I also love my significant other.
Yeah.
But
Ryan Gosling.
He knows. He knows. Jade knows. He's top of the list. Okay, everybody? Okay. Don't judge me. Listen, the stars are Boyd Holbrook, Trevante Rhodes, and Jacob Tremblay. And they are very recognizable people, but I didn't write down anything else they've been.
Who's the one guy that's in the funny thing? The one guy in the funny thing with the other funny guy. They're like a team.
Oh, Keegan-Michael Key?
Yes. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I've seen him in a lot of things.
I think that's his. I hope I'm not.
Okay.
Because Key and Peele is mostly what they're known for.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's kind of my... He was a famous person. I didn't put his name down. Sorry, everybody. I just grabbed the shit from IMDb. It's like a three-person limit, and then, you know,
like
I just
was the most famous of all the persons in that movie.
You're right. He was. I should have put him up there, but I just got me a face.
Like, when I saw him, I thought, I felt hope in my heart. I was like, oh, okay.
This person.
This person. You know, all right.
Yes. I would like to just preface that I told Felicia to significantly lower her expectations for this movie because people fucking hated it. I'm sure I said that in the last episode, so I'm going to say it again. But I just wanted to reiterate before I asked you, what did you think of this movie?
So, what I thought of this movie is I really liked it. I really liked this movie. I went in with low expectations because Tawny told me to. I also went in with a lot of hope, though, because I really wanted to like Trick or Treat and this movie after having some movies that, you know, were a little bit rough, to say the least. So I really liked this movie. I loved the characters. Okay. I'm really happy they were funny because that's what I loved the most. Like, I think if all these characters went in and this was supposed to be a super serious movie, it probably wouldn't have hit the right tone for me. They were fucking hilarious. I have two pages of notes. I was jotting down like crazy. Like, I just thought it was funny and I loved it. So anyways, I loved the characters. I thought it was hilarious. I also loved the how real they responded. I know that sounds like crazy maybe because it's like a sci-fi movie, but like, for example, the woman doctor, the scientist, when she arrived and saw the alien stuff there, she was like, oh my God, oh my, like she was not in a stupid way, in a like, holy shit, I need to look at this, which is how you would act. She seemed also very scared. Like, I thought that was cool. I thought the aliens, because I liked Predator. I liked the first Predator. I thought the aliens were cool. They were strong. I liked the idea that they weren't all bad, just like there's not all bad humans. And so one of the aliens was trying to come down and help us while the other one was trying to get all the smartest people. I loved the fact that the autistic boy, right, he was on the spectrum, so that means that he had some level of autism, was the highest intelligent that the alien was after. I thought that was awesome. I loved the, and then I'll shut up. I loved the force field thing. Like, I've never seen a force field used that way, and how, like, he was under the force field and how the little boy used it to cut off the thing's arm. Like, I thought I really liked this movie. I wasn't scared by it, but it was action-packed and it was funny and I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yes. 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 My plan worked and it all came together. That's exactly what I wanted to not that I have control over what you think about a movie, but I do have control over maybe a little bit of like the setup. And like, let me just say on the front end, do I think this is a great movie? No.
No.
Have I seen any of the other Predator movies in any of their entirety? No. Okay, so you should know that going into this episode. You should know that I haven't seen them. I don't have any sort of nostalgia. I don't have ties to the older Predator movies. And this shit, I went in with such low expectations because everybody hated this movie. And like, I had read bad things over and over again. And I was like, this shit is gonna suck, but it's on there for free. I think it was on Hulu when I watched it. So I was like, fuck it. You know, it was like one of those fuck it movies. Whatever. It's going to suck. I'm just going to put it on. And it really surprised the shit out of me. And it was those expectations that I just tried to recreate for you. And I wasn't being dishonest. People really do not like this movie.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to be like, dude, just take them down. Take your expectations all the way down. And I think when you go into this movie with very low expectations, it ends up surprising you. Like, I'm not saying this is a great movie. There are definite parts to this movie that are, like, stupid as hell. And I'll talk about those. But overall, this tickled my dark humor funny bone in a way that I did not expect it to. And so I didn't even want to tell you anything about the humor. Like, I was trying very specifically to not say anything to you about it so that you would also go in like me and expect this, like, insane action movie and then start to, like, trickle in some of this, like, weird comedy. Did that happen for you? Were you like,
I loved it. I thought it was, I really did think, you know, I didn't think the comedy was going to be there. It was going to be this guy and the aliens are going to come. There's going to be all this action. And then they started really funny. I think the very first quote I put is, Oh, God, what is this even from? I remember this. I think the little boy, oh, the little boy said this to the mailman. He said, they were talking about his dad, and he said, regarding his dad, he kills people so you can be a mailman. And I was like, oh, I like that. And I put that down. And then okay. I have the second quote that says, is it your imagination or is this haunted? What am I saying here? I was writing in the dark, actually stretching. Oh, I love that. That's right. When they walk into the top secret place, he's like, is it your imagination or is this haunted room actually stretching? And I was like, oh, wait a second. That's funny. Okay. I love it. I have I even have this joke. If your mom's vagina was a video game, it would be rated E for everyone.
Yes.
This was one movie, I've never done this before. I was constantly writing down quotes because it was cracking me up. I loved all the characters. Oh my God. I fucking loved it. I don't know why. Just absolutely fucking loved how that woman, she had shot herself. The scientist shot herself in the foot and fell asleep. They took her to the hotel and they surrounded her with like knickknacks to make her feel more comfortable when she woke up. It was just great. The characters were great.
Oh my God.
I loved it. Let me say one more thing. I love this. It's a small, small thing, but the one guy I was just talking about, what's his name? You said it was the guy in the beginning. I said he's the most famous of them. He's the funny guy.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah. Okay, Keegan-Michael Key. So the dog comes, the big massive dog that they gave a lobotomy to that they didn't realize they gave a lobotomy to. He comes, everyone has their guns and they're all like, and the woman, no, don't shoot him. And they're having this conversation back and forth. And then he goes, I have it even right here. He's like, okay, are we doing this? It was just like, it was so small, but it was so quick. He's like, okay, like, stop fucking around. Are we doing this or are we not doing this? And it was just so quick and witty. I love witty humor. Yeah. So yeah, I like
it. I did too.
How about when the wife gives that speech about her husband, how amazing he is. And the one guy who's kind of like, he has long hair and he's kind of sketchy. God. He's like, yeah, I didn't like your speech, but it just like was so...
My favorite part of that scene, that whole scene, is she goes into this entire monologue. She's like, well, you know, he killed Bubba. But by the way, she's a fantastic actress. I didn't put her in the stars, but she's obviously well known. Yvonne starts with an S. I don't know. Sorry.
I knew her from Handmaid's Tale.
Amazing. She plays Serena Joy in Handmaid's Tale, does phenomenally in that too.
Yeah.
And yeah, so she goes through this whole thing. My favorite part is the first thing somebody says, they go, it sounds like he can take care of himself.
Oh, fuck. I have that written here. She goes that whole thing and they're like, well, to me, it sounds like he can take care of himself. Yes, that was so great. I love that humor.
Funny. Me too. It just hit me. I'll tell you also, as I watched this movie, I kept being like, because Jade felt the same way the first time, because we watched it together the first time. And he was like, we both left the movie feeling like, God, that was actually pretty good. Like, and people made it out to be like super bad. Again, it's not great. But like, it was very entertaining. You cannot deny maybe other people feel differently. But I feel like, we feel like it was an entertaining movie. Mm-hmm. And so I told him, I put this on the docket for October. And he was like, we get to watch Predator 2018 again. He was like stoked about it. So we watched it again. And we're watching the first like handful of minutes. And I'm like... And every couple of minutes, I turn to Jade and I'm like, oh God, I don't know. I don't know if Felicia might hate this. She might hate this movie. She might hate this. And then there was a moment and I was like, shit, I wish I would have written it down. I don't remember exactly which line it was, but there was a moment and I turned to Jade and I was like, no, she's gonna like this.
Oh,
like,
I
think she's gonna like this.
What moment was it? You have to find out. Okay. Like in the future.
We might talk about it and it might jog my memory and I'll be like, oh, that was the moment. But it was so funny in a way that I didn't expect it to be. And so I'm so glad you agree. It was really good. I wrote down a handful of moments that were my favorite jokes. So I'll go through those.
Okay.
And you can tell me if you wrote them down as well. So for sure, the first one for me is this your imagination or is this haunted room lengthening or whatever? Like,
that was great. That
killed me. And then when she gets down there in the room and they're talking about the predator and he's like, yeah, we call it the predator. And she's like, well, wouldn't that actually be called like
the hunter,
the hunter or whatever? Yeah, and he's the like, hunter. He's like, oh, we took a vote and it's predator sounds cooler. Like yeah. That just cracked my ass up. Something about that actor too. Like I don't, he just, his face. Every time I saw like a shot of his, I just immediately started laughing. And I don't know if it's because I've seen him in something else funny. I should have looked it up. But he just, he was so comedic through the entire thing. He was really cracking my ass up. So that was very funny. And then later, there's a callback when she wakes up in the hotel room. And she's telling them about it. Oh, they call it the predator. And they're like, wasn't that like
yeah.
a hunter or whatever? And she's like, that's what I said. Cracked me up.
Yep, I love that too.
So funny. Also, let me just say, I know people are going to hate this. This is going to be a controversial opinion. Get to the choppers fucking killed me. I laughed my goddamn ass off.
Get to the choppers.
Get to the choppers. Do you remember this? It's like the predator escapes. It's like right after that. It's like the predator escapes and the bus of the, you know, the loonies or whatever. They're waiting. That's what they call them in this movie, by the way. I did not come up with that name.
Toddy's so insensitive.
I know. Just so you know, I didn't mark them that. But they're in the bus and they're waiting and the predator is loose. And that's when, you know, the doctor, what's her name?
I don't remember her name.
Casey, is that right?
I don't remember.
I think it's Casey. But she's Olivia like running. Munn's character. Yeah, she gets out of the, you know, Olivia place.
Munn, that's right.
And they're trying to drive away in the bus, but they don't make it. Like, I think the tire gets shot out, and then they're, like, at the back of the bus. And Nebraska, right, he turns around, and he's all, get to the choppers! And there's, like, a bunch of, they show a shot, and there's, like, a bunch of fucking motorcycles. I can't believe you didn't pick up on this.
Oh, you know what? I didn't. I don't know why. Something must have interrupted my movie watching. Because I remember this specifically, they were all on motorcycles, and I thought to myself, where'd they get those fucking motorcycles? Oh, so yeah. Something must have happened that interrupted my movie watching at that point, yeah.
Damn, I'm sad you missed that, because it was really...
I'm going to have to look at it again.
It was really funny. Obviously, they're making fun of Get to the Chopper. That was hello.
So cute. Can I, one small thing right in that scene too?
Yeah.
Is when she's on top and her foot's all asleep. And the main guy, sorry, I forgot his name, the blonde guy.
What is his name?
Well, he's like, come on, come on. I got you, lady. I got you. And oh, then she jumps off and he runs. He's like, sorry. She hits the ground. That was funny too.
That was funny. What else? Yeah, the other one I wrote down I already talked about is it sounds like he can take care of himself.
Oh, you can't see it in my writing, but it says, sounds like he could probably take care of himself.
So good.
It was so good. It was so good. The comedy is so funny. Like when my husband is witty, funny like that, sarcastic, witty, that's my fucking favorite comedy. I love that. It cracked me up all day.
Yes. And I think there's something about the combination of the humor and the extreme violence for me. That is what I call dark humor. Like, that is what's funny to me. You know, and I, like, again, we talked about this in the Sleepy Hollow episode, and no spoilers for Sleepy Hollow, but some people, like, I saw comments talking about that as a dark comedy. Like, I don't think so. Like, that is not dark comedy to me. This is dark comedy to me in a way that, like, you've got this extreme violence, like creatures pulling spinal cords out of bodies. It's so bloody, so gory, so over the top that, like, I think I need that level of over the topness with the humor for it to be, like, real, just to work for me.
Yeah.
And just this movie worked for me. Now, that's not to say that all jokes landed. I think there were, like, a handful of jokes that didn't land as well. I took two notes of them. One of them being the man with Tourette's. I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
But he, you know, there's something where he's talking to Olivia Munn.
About the pussy? Like,
eat my pussy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that was a miss. That was a miss for me. And also in the beginning with Olivia Munn's character, she's talking to the people in the, you know, in the, where they have the alien before he gets loose. Mm-hmm. And they're like asking her about the human DNA. And she's like, guys, guys, I get it. You want to know if somebody fucked an alien. Like, I don't know why, but that didn't land. I was like, there was definitely like a, not all the jokes were great.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, you picked the two that, the guy with Tourette's, honestly, I don't think the Tourette's came off that well, even when he was in the bus and stuff. I liked, like his hair trigger, I guess you'd call it anger, like how he was, if you just pushed him too hard, he'd be set off. And I think that was enough, because when he would do the weird Tourette stuff, when he didn't do it, I loved it. Like when he was in the living room. I think he was the one that actually said, well, it sounds like he could probably take care of himself. I think he was the one that said it. That's perfect. The Tourette's part, like, I think we could have done without it. I didn't find it
that
funny.
I thought that too. And let me tell you a little tidbit on that, because I also felt like I could not help but feel like a little bit like, oh, are they making fun of people who have Tourette's? Like, I'm not a huge fan of that.
I don't like that either. Do you think that's what it was?
I don't think so, and here's why.
Okay.
Here's a little trivia piece. Shane Black, the director, wrote Thomas Jane's character, Baxley, that's his name, with Tourette's symptoms because Black has Tourette's. So he himself has Tourette's. Now, you know, what I think there are, I'm absolutely not an expert in this, but I think there are, you know, different types of Tourette's that you can maybe have, and so who knows what type that is and if it's the same, and but it at least made me feel like it wasn't so just thrown in there for the sake of comedy.
I'm totally on the same board. Maybe that is what I kind of felt about the Tourette's as well. I don't like movies where people, where it's clear that people are playing somebody with a disability and it's kind of like over the top or their interpretation of it. So for example, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Phenomenal. When I saw that with Leonardo DiCaprio and Johnny Depp, Leonardo DiCaprio, I don't remember exactly what he has, but he has a mental disability. This is how amazing he is at playing that. You know who Leonardo DiCaprio is, right? I'm just joking, Tawny. I'm kidding.
Okay. I was like,
you're like, bitch, come on.
Yes, of course I know who that is. I have not seen this movie, though.
You should see it. It's a heart jerker. It's a fucking great movie. Leonardo DiCaprio, Johnny Depp. So when I saw that movie when I was younger, I thought Leonardo DiCaprio, because I didn't know who he was, had a disability.
Okay.
Like, I thought he really did, and he was an actor in this movie. That's how good it was. And I imagine that is incredibly hard, because then you see a lot of movies where people are just playing the stereotypical whatever it is for that particular disability, whatever the disability is. And it just comes across, it's like, I would not want to sign up to play a role like that, because I think being very believable is really hard. And if you're not believable, it's not a good result.
Yeah.
Did that all make sense?
It did. And and I totally, I'm on the same page. It can come across as offensive. You're like, are you making, you know, it feels a little bit like you're poking fun as opposed to, you know, honoring whatever that thing
is.
And I did start to feel that in this, you know, and you know, again, I have no idea about Tourette's. I don't know what the situation is, but the fact that the director has some form of Tourette's and wrote that in specifically makes me feel maybe less like there was a, you know,
stereotype of person with Tourette's.
Right, exactly.
So, I saw a movie years ago. It was an independent film. I don't remember the title because I wasn't ready to talk about it, but it was about someone with Tourette's. Beautifully done. You would think he really had it. So maybe the guy just wasn't really good, and not in a like bashing that guy at all. Again, I think it would be incredibly hard to play something like that genuinely. I think you would need to be one of those actors like that woman that was in that Goodnight Mommy who wrapped herself in bandages for 6 months or whatever to get into character. I think you'd really have to like immerse yourself into it to be believable, but
yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad he wasn't making fun of people, because I'm not into that shit at all.
Yeah. Not, I mean, again, like, I'm not ruling out the, like, maybe he has it and he is making it. Who knows? Right? Like, there's like a million possibilities here.
I'm going to think he didn't, because it makes me angry.
Okay. That's fine.
And I like that's this fair. Movie. So I think he really tried to play someone with Tourette's and.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think the version of Tourette's is maybe the thing that is, you know, screaming profanities. I would be willing to bet there's a large number of other types of Tourette's that you can have, right? And I think that one is definitely the most comedic. And so obviously that, you know, when it gets thrown into a movie, you can't help but feel like, okay, maybe they're... So anyway, I'm just saying, I'm just making room for the fact that...
It's
crazy though,
because it's not even, it wasn't funny.
Yeah, you're right. Like it, well, I don't know. I think you and I didn't read that part as funny. But yeah, I think it might have been other intended people. To be funny. Yeah. So anyway.
All right.
That's an interesting,
that was interesting
part of this movie, for sure.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. What other, did you have any other lines written down?
So here I have, so what he said when the dog came was, okay, what are we doing with it? Like he was like, okay, what are we doing with it? Like, let's stop talking. How I went, oh shit, when the little kid killed that guy with his mask. Because I think at point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Sorry. I just choked on my own air. Because it was a little boy and he killed the guy. You know, it wasn't like, oh no, there's a bomb. No, he killed him. And I was like, oh shit, I like that. I thought that was funny. Or not funny, but I thought that was like a whoa moment. And he took it off. Okay, so it's funny with my notes. I have that one guy, the main bad guy that you liked. I put, I hate him. Because in the beginning, he runs all scared when the alien was getting crazy, but then yeah. he walks in like he's such a badass. And at first I didn't interpret that as funny. I was like, I fucking hate this guy. Like,
yeah.
And then even before I knew it was going to be funny, when the main guy finds all the like armor and stuff like that, it's okay. I even have this in my notes. That's what I'll tell you. It says, my first note was, I love aliens. I've seen every yes. single ancient aliens. I've researched them in religious.
Ancient aliens or Alien the movie?
Ancient aliens, the series.
The series. Okay.
Yeah. I've seen Aliens the movie too, Fire in the Sky, all of that stuff. Oh my God, I saw Fire in the Sky recently. I have to tell you this, but okay. Backwards. When I was in religious studies, it got really amped because I was going to graduate school for religious studies. There's fucking aliens in there, the Anunnaki. I'm obsessed. I love them. Love. So I wrote that. I love aliens. So it was my starting off on really, this is not going to be great, but you know what? I love aliens. So it's okay. But I liked the invisible effects. Oh shoot. I skipped this. In the very beginning, when the alien's invisible, I liked the invisible effects. And when he was laying on the ground and the guy's blood was going on the alien's body and face so that you could see the outline and then his eyes opened, that was cool. I thought that was scary. I liked that. So here's what I was going to tell you. Someplace in LA, but military question mark. Military helicopter question mark. So then I'm like, military, and then the guys are in suits, rich guys question mark. Okay, so this was when the main character had, like, he was snipering in the very beginning. There was some type of a hostage switch off, but it literally looked like LA. Like, okay. I didn't know they were in a different country. It was like in LA, but all the military is watching this, and I was like, that's weird. And then this guy in his Miami Vice suit comes out of a helicopter and he's in charge of the military. Like, I was like, this is going downhill fast, but it didn't. Yes. But it didn't. And I ended up by the end really liking that character that you like too.
The evil guy?
The evil guy. The main evil guy. Yeah.
Sorry, I should have written down his name, but I don't.
I just smashed my microphone. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I did really like ending up liking the bad guy. the string and the heads coming off. Oh, I really liked that when when the predator put the string and the guys in the Jeep, they're
just get decapitated. Yes. Insane.
That was great. And I put, I liked the predator. I literally have that in my notes. I liked the predator. He was cool. It was creepy how, it was in the trees when they were running and it was in the trees and you couldn't see it. There was a real sense of dread there because, and then it would come down that in its face, you know, and like pluck you out. I thought that was good. That was actually scary.
Yeah, I liked that too. And there will be some interesting trivia stuff that we get into here in a little bit. But let me talk real quick about the things that I didn't love. Mm. And just to be fair to this movie that people hate. And listen, I get why this is not a good movie. Like, there are a lot of plot holes. And I'll talk about, again, in the trivia, why part of that is. But here are some other things that I obviously pulled out that I didn't love. I think some of the dialogue is extremely cheesy and, like, obviously fucking just crazy, like, over the top, made for, like, 10-year-old boy, military jacking itself off type shit, right? Like, I don't love that. That's not my vibe at all. And there was definitely some of that. And so
100%.
Not a fan. But
I agree.
And also, I didn't really love the plot line of his son being the one to, like, unlock. Like, it just felt way too convenient to me. It was like, oh, he happens to be the person who's a sniper in this other country who sees this thing and survives, and he mails the shit to his son who is able to unlock the, you know, like, it was just, like, that was all pretty contrived and, like, you know, I don't. There's something I think about the idea that his son is on the spectrum, and like on some level I can kind of respect the idea that they tried to go for like a, you know, this is not a bad thing necessarily, right? To be on the spectrum.
I liked that there's different types of minds.
Yeah.
And just because there's a mind that functions in a different way doesn't mean it's functioning lower. Or that they are inferior to you, they actually might be superior with the way their mind functions. I like that.
Yeah, like I don't think that that inherently was like a bad message to have, but like just I think it's like the thing as a whole was just kind of messy. You know, like it just
I get you on that. Like, his son, the guy who finds it, is able to unlock it all.
It's very convenient.
Yeah, and it was a way for him to be able to unlock everything quickly, figure everything out. Yeah, how did you like the ending when he had his own desk and he was working for the government?
I mean, again, that was a little far, right? Like, I'm just like, okay, they're not going to put this, like, little boy. Like, I just, you know, like, we just took that to an extreme in a way that
I thought that. It's like, he's not going to put this little boy. And I'm like, well, I mean, if he was the only one that could unlock it, they would. I'm very generous.
You are very generous. I'm like, maybe. It, you know, is that kid a great actor? Yes. I like him a lot. I like him in the other things I've seen. He's great. I just don't. Yeah, I'm just not quite sure that I buy they're going to give him his own desk. Like, again, I think that kind of it paints this idea of, like, we're so great. I don't know. There's, like, something about the, like, self-aggrandizing of him and his family that just doesn't. It doesn't gel, and I don't love that part. And there's just line after line of him, the father. I should know these people's names, but I don't. I'm sorry.
Him, the father.
Him, the father. Not Jesus. The main guy in this movie. But, you know, he says things that are just, like, really fucking stupid. Like, I'll give you an example. The one that just popped into my head is when he's in the barn being held by, you know, some other people. And he's like, oh, you know, you're making me lie to my son. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I'm going to enjoy this. And like murders them. I'm like, okay, that's
Boyd Holbrook.
Thank you.
Who plays Quinn McKenna.
Quinn.
Boyd Holbrook, yeah.
Yeah.
And the little boy is Jacob Tremblay, who plays Rory McKenna.
Yeah.
The Tourette's guy is Thomas Jane, by the way, who pays Baxley.
Okay.
That's what it says. And the guy that you liked, the big bad guy, was Will Traeger, and his real name is Sterling K. Brown.
Okay. I think, did I say his name in the...
I don't remember.
No.
It was a long time ago.
Nope. Sorry.
It's okay.
You know what? There's just so many actors. There's a lot of characters in this movie. I couldn't,
There really were. Yeah. We talked about Kegel exercises.
Kegel, yeah.
Keegan Michael Key. He was hilarious. I loved him. Trevante Rhodes was another one. He was Williams or Nebraska. He was Nebraska. And Alfie Allen, he played Lynch. Oh, I see. They all are named. It says Lynch, Baxley. So it was Baxley and Lynch. Augusto Aguilera played Nettles. He was the one with the long hair.
Right.
Yeah, he was good.
And then the last thing I'll say is that just plot point wise, I didn't love the dog. That seemed unnecessary. It was weird. It didn't make sense to me. How the fuck? Even if they gave this dog a little lobotomy, I don't understand why it was like, you know, loyal to them. Like, it just did not make any kind of sense. So again, I think this movie is messy as hell. I think there's shit all over the place. I still enjoyed watching it though. It was so, I cannot deny within myself that it is entertaining. It's definitely like a popcorn flick. Would I even call it horror? I'm not sure. It seems like it's mainly an action movie.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining. It kept
me
in. Like
a sci-fi. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. No, it just kept me in the whole time. And I had fun watching it even a second time. So I'm glad that you had the same experience.
I did. I had a lot of fun.
Were there other things that you really did not like? Like, did you have moments where you were like, oh no?
There was not anything that I really hated, honestly. Like, I really watched it for what it was, and I enjoyed the comedy. Mm-hmm. If the comedy was taken out and this was a serious action film, I would not have liked it.
Agreed. Yeah. I would not have been on board.
It would have been corny and basic, with a couple of moments that, wow, the Predator looked pretty cool, and it would have sucked and I wouldn't have been happy. The comedy and the characters in it really made this movie.
It was a good cast. I feel like.
Yeah. Great cast.
Yeah. You have to give it up for the cast. I feel like they all did a pretty good job, you know, even if they didn't have much to work with, maybe. And last thing I'll say is, just moment wise, I just remembered. I loved that moment when, oh God, actually I have a couple moments. I was going to maybe cut this out, but I'm not going to, because these are the two and I have a thing to say.
Yeah.
And then I'll get into the trivia. One, I loved that moment when, I should remember his name. Sterling K. Brown. What's his name?
Which one?
One more time.
Oh, the bad guy that you love?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah. But what's his like?
Will Traeger.
Traeger. So I love that moment when Traeger is talking to the son and he's like, yeah, your father, like, what is he saying? He's like, your father, there's no way that your father would be able to come in and break through these, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's like telling him all about it. And he's like, unless it's a diversion, shit, like, like, that cracked me up. I thought that was very good.
That was good. He was like, oh, is he? Is he? He's going to come in here. Oh, shit. Yeah, that was great. That was good.
Yeah, you did that much better. That's exactly it. I did it wrong. But that cracked me up the first time. It cracked me up the second time. And let me just say, very notable scene, the death scenes of Baxley and Coyle. Is that right? It's Keegan-Michael Keyes and yes. the other guy, where they're like, the one is impaled up on the branch and Keegan-Michael mm-hmm. Keyes is down on the ground. Coyle. And he's impaled. Or he's like disemboweled, sorry. I fucking cracked up both times. The funny, this is like, I think this is the epitome for me of dark comedy. So gory, so over the top, so ridiculous. And they're going to die and they have to kill each other. And they've like been friends for a long time. I don't know why this makes me sound like such a dark person. Hopefully you've watched the movie so you understand the comedy of it. But it cracked me up the first time. It cracked me up the second time. It's so funny. This is, when I think of this movie, this is the scene I think of, is them having to kill each other out of mercy because they're dying grotesque, horrible, terrible deaths. It sounds so stupid when I'm laughing about it, but it is actually very funny the way that they act it. And let me say this, Jade and I spent an hour together. We swear up and down. So if you know anything about this, please write us, let us know that we're not crazy. The first time we watched this movie, we swear to God, this scene was elongated. There was like a dialogue scene between them where they actually counted down to like shooting each other. Like there was like conversation between them before they even did it, which made it even funnier. Because when we rewatched it a second time, we were like, I still thought it was funny, but there was definitely like this moment missing of them like, you know, having a conversation with each other. And Jade and I, the other night, we searched for so long and we could not find anything about like a deleted scene or whatever, but it was so much funnier. I was going to send it to you ahead of time to be like, you should watch this because it's funny.
So do you think this has to do with, oh, what no, is I it don't. Called? Where's my daughter? Okay. She takes psychology and there's this effect.
Oh, that the mandala effect.
With the Berenstain Bears.
That's what I kept telling Jade. Yes! Yeah. I was like, is this a mandala? Is this what is happening? Are we misremembering? Yes. But we both remember it in detail. And I would like to think I have a pretty good memory of things like this. So I think, I don't know. Maybe it's a Berenstain Bears.
It's the Berenstain Bear effect.
Or a Shazam, or
oh, there's something know, with Nelson Shazam. Mandela.
Yeah, that's another one of those. There's this movie. This is one that I have personally experienced that people remember with Shaq. I might be talking out of my.
I remember ass here. Shazam.
Shazam the movie. Tell yeah. me about it.
Well, I don't remember a lot except that he played basketball and wasn't like. Or is that, am I thinking something different? Was there
you're
like,
thinking of,
but Bugs Bunny was in it?
You're thinking of Space Jam with Michael Jordan.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay,
no, you're fine.
I don't remember then.
I think it was about the same time, but I'm talking about Shazam with, I'm pretty sure it was Shaq. And I swear to God, I owned this movie on VHS. But the thing is, you go to look it up. And it does not exist. It's like not a movie.
No, Shazam. I do remember, like, but oh, shut the fuck up.
This is one of those. But there's not. It's a different movie with a different person. But I swear to God, I remember this movie.
So there is something because my daughter all the time she'll be like, "Hey, mom, what do you remember about this?" And I'll tell her, just like, of all the confidence in my whole being. And she'll be like, nope. Like, what are you talking about? And this is insane. I love this.
I know. Berenstain Bears is an interesting one.
Okay.
Anyway.
So it was in this movie as well. So,
yeah.
Hey, everyone writing about this, it's called the Mandela Effect. Is that what you're saying?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Because I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Mandela Effect. So please add The Predator.
to that list.
The scene where the two friends had died. One is impaled in a tree. The other one is at the base of another tree, totally just all gutted out. And they shoot each other so they don't suffer. Yeah. They don't say anything, but Tawny and Jade remember a full conversation between them.
We both remember. And let me just say this too. Jade was like, why don't you just message him, Keegan-Michael Key? Like, Jade, I'm not going to fucking DM him. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? Well, Jade sent him a message on Instagram.
Oh, shit. Good, so, Jade.
I'll update you.
Yeah, tell us if he says anything.
I will, because he sent him straight up, like, I'm rewatching. Like, no preface, anything. Hey, I love your work. Nothing. Just, hey, I'm rewatching Predator. I'm rewatching Predator 2018. I swear to God, there was a scene with you. There's some banter back and forth. And, like, before you kill each other, did that actually happen? I need to know. Like, we'll see.
I hope he writes back, or somebody writes back on his team, on or his something. Profile. I'm looking up the Predator.
Don't even try.
I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, I didn't search it with the Mandela effect, but I did. Jade and I spent.
Yeah, there's a whole Reddit about it.
Shut the fuck up. Shut.
It's called Mandela Effect Predator. Okay, wait. This is Mandela Effect Predator, and when I clicked into it, it was Predator 1987, the original one.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm gonna look for this.
Okay, feel free. I'm telling you,
I will.
We searched for a very long time, couldn't find anything. Anyway, I'm just saying, if you know anything, write us in. Tell us if you remember seeing this, because it was extra funny. And, like, it was funny even without the banter, but with the banter, it was better. And there was another moment also, the get to the choppers, I swear to God, was more extreme. You know, like, I could be misremembering that one for sure, but I thought there was, like, a longer hold on his face where he, like, turned his head and he was like, get to the choppers. Like, I just thought that was more, you know, dramatic in the moment, but... Anyway, there's all that. Tell us what you think, and let's get into some of this trivia.
Yes, you better bet that. Okay, what time is it? For me, it's 10 at night, and for you, it's 11 at night. When we are done, I will be up all night researching the Mandela effect, and who knows? Who knows where it would take me? Who knows what video I'll be sobbing at 3 in the morning? But it's going to start with the Mandela effect.
There's no way to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Okay. So, although no mention is made in the movie, the character Keyes, played by Jake Busey, is the son of Peter Keyes, the government official from Predator 2, which was made in 1990, who died during the hunt for the Predator. Peter Keyes was played by Gary Busey, who is Jake's father in real life as well.
Oh, interesting.
So that was a nice tie-in. Yeah. There are a lot of tie-ins, as you'll see. I'll keep talking.
That's a bummer. I should have I watched the original Predator, a long time ago, but I do remember liking it with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'd like it too.
I did. I believe I remember liking it a lot.
Yeah. That I love the Terminator. It's like one of my
favorite. Total Recall. You didn't like it? Okay, well, we shouldn't even really talk about it anyways, because it might be something we watch.
Yeah, maybe. I just don't think I've seen it, actually.
Okay.
I've seen probably scenes and stuff, you know.
But the Terminator was great.
Yes, so good.
Wow.
It has scared me for the rest of my entire life about computers taking over. Thanks, Dad. Thank you. I hope he's listening. The film was directed and co-written by Shane Black as a sequel to Predator 2 and Predators, which was in 2010. Shane Black played Hawkins in the original film.
Oh, I've only seen the original Predator. I haven't seen all the
sequels. Okay. Mm-mm. Interesting. The line that discusses the validity of the name, the Predator, when referring to the creature that was taken from a conversation that Olivia Munn had with her sister, who studied science prior to the filming.
Oh, cute.
I know. I thought that was kind of neat. The lab in which the Predator is held contains display cases containing artifacts from previous Predator films, two Predator masks from Predator 2, and Alien vs. Predator. the retractable spear from Predator 2, the shoulder blaster from Alien vs. Predator, and the custom-made spear with a xenomorph tail from Alien vs. Predator.
In Alien vs. Predator, who wins? Do you know?
I don't think I've seen it.
I don't know, but I'm going to say I hope that Alien wins. I love her. I love
her. You love the alien or you love?
Alien.
Okay.
Her. She's a girl, isn't she? I don't know. She's a girl alien. I love her.
I thought you were talking about
Alien.
Demi Moore?
No. Sigourney Weaver. Alien.
Oh.
That's okay. What we're talking about, right? It's Predator versus Alien, right? Oh, I'm pretty sure. It's Predator versus Alien from Alien with Sigourney Weaver, for sure.
Okay.
And I love her.
I don't know, y'all. I don't know. I'm sorry. Am I thinking of Alien 3, maybe?
I've watched I don't know what you're thinking.
No. You should get in my brain.
I really damn should. I watched Alien recently with my kids, and I don't know if we'll watch it, so I shouldn't say anything. But it was, yeah. So anyway, I hope she won. I did never see that movie.
Okay.
But I do love her, that alien. Alien.
The lab in which... Oh, no. I already told you that one.
Slow down on the drinking, Tawny.
I know. Jesus Christ. I'm like tired. I think that's what's happening. I can drink a lot, and I don't seem actually that drunk. Even when I go back and edit our episodes, I'll know, like, oh, I drank a lot and I got drunk as fuck. Like, I was like a drunk bitch. I'll edit our episodes and I'll be like, God damn, like, I really hold my shit together. I do not seem like a drunk at all, but I think it's because I'm tired, you know, that I'm just having a hard time here. Okay. Here we go. Shane Black revealed that the rough cut was so dark it was nicknamed the night cut and led to reshooting the third act. And I'll also talk about more about reshooting the third act here in a minute. This next one, it's a lengthy one that I'm going to read. So just hold in with me. And
I'm ready. Should have had another drink. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Should have gotten another drink. I think this is part of the reason why Jade and I started researching like deleted scenes from this movie, and like we couldn't find anything except for this, which this is obviously not good at all, and I'm glad that they took this out. But it's sometimes when you go to search for something and there's something else that happened, it's hard to get beyond that wall. So I think that this is mostly what you'll find if you search this. Actor Steve Wilder, also known as Steve Wilder Striegel, was originally cast as a minor character in this movie, but 20th Century Fox removed his scenes a few days before the picture lock when actress Olivia Munn informed the studio that he was arrested, charged, and registered as a sex offender in 2010, after facing allegations that he attempted to lure a 14-year-old girl into a sexual relationship via the internet. Director Shane Black, who had already cast Striegel in small roles in Iron Man 3 and The Nice Guys, initially defended the casting as giving an old friend a second chance, but later apologized and took full responsibility for causing such controversy. He was playing a jogger who repeatedly tries to hit on Munn's character, and the scene was meant to be her character's original introduction. In the final cut of the film, she appears with little explanation for who her character is, which makes total sense. Like, I don't know. We felt that for sure rewatching. We were like, oh, what? Who is this person? Where did she come from? Why did they grab her? You know, like, it's very, like, what is happening with her? And it's because they cut out this scene.
I am so glad. Okay. Today, I listened to an episode of My Favorite Murder, but long story short, this guy, I was telling, this is going to come full circle, guys. Hang in there with me. Soon I won't have to say that. In episode 241, everyone's going to be like, Felicia's going to come full circle. It's all good. But right now I'm building trust. So about the serial killer that's in Australia. Okay. He had initially went in, grabbed this woman into the bathroom and was trying to assault her. And she kicked him and got free. The police came and arrested him. His boss said, okay, so first of all, at the company this guy worked at, who, by the way, a few years later became a serial killer. His boss was like, he's just under a lot of stress. He didn't mean it.
His boss became a serial killer?
No, no, I'm sorry. That was not good. Okay, the guy who dragged the woman, he became a serial killer. But when the police came, the boss, first of all, didn't fire him for attacking this woman. And because he was in his work uniform, by the way, I'm just butchering this thing. But anyways, his boss said, hey, please don't press charges. We're not going to fire him. He's under a lot of pressure. He's just stressed out, blah, blah, blah. And it's that whole thing that, which is what I'm coming full circle with what you're saying, like that director tried to try to kind of stick up for him. You cannot sexually assault a woman. You cannot fucking do that, period. Especially if this person is a child. Yeah. Sorry, more people need to stop the fucking bullshit. And if he did do that to a 14-year-old kid, sorry, you're not in my fucking movie. Done, like gone, bye-bye. Yeah. So I'm glad that he did end up letting him go, because that was my whole thing, is that the boss allowed this guy to stay on board, allowed him to work. He worked for the company for a decade later and killed people under the guise of that company, that he was like a cable guy or something. And so, you know, like, I don't know. It sounds like I'm going off like random, but it's just like, we need to stop doing that. It's not stop fucking okay. People. It's not okay. You cannot sexually assault, grope, be violent to a woman, a man, anybody, and say, oh, sorry. I'm just stressed. Like, no, like stop. Yeah. So I'm glad. I hope all that made sense. I'm glad you let him go.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I'm like, it makes total sense why they took this out. Good for them.
Yeah.
And it just is unfortunate because it really backs up this Mandela effect situation I can't find anything about. I'm going to have to buy the DVD. I have to buy it and watch
it. It's going
to
be gone, scenes. Dude, because you can't even buy a Berenstain Bear book. See, I'm saying it's still wrong. Like, you can't.
No, you're not. You're just saying it the way that you remember. I get it.
Yeah, I'm saying it the right way.
Yeah, the right way.
It's not the conspiracy cover-up bullshit they're trying to warp me in mind.
Okay. When the predator, or no, sorry. When first seeing the predator strapped to the table, Olivia Munn's character calls the creature a beautiful motherfucker. This is a nod to the original Predator, where Arnold Schwarzenegger calls the creature one ugly motherfucker. This term has been used as a running gag throughout the sequels.
Oh, I like that. Okay, cool. I didn't remember that, so that's very cool.
Yeah, I liked that too. When they first met, Casey and Traeger discussed the validity of the creature's nickname. Casey thinks Hunter would be more appropriate for Traeger. For Traeger, Predator is more classy. Hunter was the first title of the Predator movie during pre-production.
Oh.
So it's a nice little callback.
Yeah, I like that.
There is a lot of this. I didn't pull in every single, like, trivia piece, but if you want to go read the IMDb, there's, like, thing after thing about, like, names and people being involved in the production all throughout, you know, all of the movies, so definitely check that out. The film was a box office flop, ultimately, with a record-setting opening weekend of $24.6 million, the worst possible opening weekend for a film on more than 4,000 screens, $7 million lower than previous record holder The Mummy in 2017. So just so you have context for that, the budget for this is $88 million. Oh, and so that was opening weekend, and now it seems like the box office is $160 million. So they ended up pushing over what they spent, but opening weekend was not favorable to them. Big flop. People hate this movie. The thermometer is like a 33%. Like, people fucking
hate
this.
Wow, they really hated it that much. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Okay, sorry. Here's another long one, but this is my last tidbit. Two scrapped alternate endings were filmed to tie this film to the Alien franchise. One where the sarcophagus opens to reveal a cryostasis pod marked Weyland-Yutani containing Ellen Ripley, and another where it contained an adult Rebecca Newt Jordan from Aliens from 1986. This was supposed to be a nod to Neil Blomkamp's canceled Alien film that was originally to continue from Aliens 1986. While ignoring Alien 3 from 1992 and Alien Resurrection from 97. Stuntwoman Brianna Watkins played both roles, which were unrecognizable due to wearing a breathing mask, standing in for Sigourney Weaver as Ripley, but both endings were scrapped in favor of the Predator killing armor ending. The rejected endings would have required some explanation, as Ellen Ripley and Newt lived in 2179, while this film is supposed to be set in 2018.
Yeah, that...
It's quite a
jump. Yeah, even though I love Ripley, and I just already expressed how much I love Alien. That yes. I would have been like, what? I would have wondered. I would have been like, why?
Yeah.
What is this? Why?
I get why they would want to tie it in, right?
Like, it's no, like... I get why they would want to tie it in, but why was that the thing that the Predator wanted us to have?
Yeah.
Because the Predator didn't they send a pod? It was like the pod was the backup gift or thing for us. So why would it be Ripley?
That, yeah, good point.
Yeah. That would have had a lot of questions. I would have been confused.
Yeah. I mean, like, I like the idea of that, you know, just knowing.
Yeah.
Generally kind of what, but there was like, they scrapped a lot in the third act of this movie. Like, I didn't put, I'll just try to tell you kind of what happened from memory from reading this. But they reshot the entire third act. Like, they went and shot it in daytime and the studio was like, hell nah, that looks fucking cheesy. It looks bad. You need to reshoot it at night. And
All right. Thanks for joining us back. Again, you'll notice we're different. Like we mentioned before, we had two episodes that the spirits did not want to have the ending for. So here we're back. We're just going to give you a little quick pick up where we left off. Pick up where we left off. So Tawny was telling us all about how the producer, the production company, was like, you need to reshoot this entire third act because this bad boy is not taking place during the daytime. It has to be at night. And so she was just sharing with us that there were some different things going on, like Olivia Munn's character being introduced seemed kind of like, who dis? You know what I mean? Who is this lady? Like, why is she here? And Keegan-Michael Key's death was totally different, like we talked about. So there was just these different pieces that Tawny had mentioned made the movie feel a little messy because they had to cut so much. Do I have that right?
Yeah, totally. You could tell those plot holes, you know, it's like they wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger to do a cameo and he was like not down for a cameo. So there's a lot of that in this movie. That's why it feels so crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There were some elements you had mentioned last time that you liked. One of those being how it was surprising that the Predator was actually a good Predator trying to help us. That kind of little plot twist.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. I thought that was kind of fun. And then you get the bigger, scarier Predator coming after the first Predator. Like, I liked all of that stuff.
Yeah, that had some really good plot elements. Well, really, that is all. Because we spent a stupid amount of time talking about rating. Here's the joy for all of you listeners. You do not have to go through yet another back and forth of rating because it was all lost. So now we could get right down to that bad boy. Tawny, do you remember what you rated the movie?
I gave it a 3.
That's right.
Felicia, and here's the thing. Here's what I want everybody to know. I think I've already said this in this episode, but just in case I haven't, I recognize that this is not a great movie. I'm not saying it is, but it is entertaining. And so that's why I give it a 3, because I recommend, you know, my cutoff. It's like a 3 and above. Like, I recommend that you watch it, okay? unless there's very specific circumstances. Under three, it's like if you're super into horror or something, I might be like, okay, you probably want to check out Creepshow because it's, you know, just a historic-ish type movie. But three and above is I recommend it. It's worth a watch. Okay, so that's, I'm putting this at a three.
Oh, yeah. What's you know rating? What? I think I mentioned this, and now I have no clue what day it is, when I mentioned it. But remember how we talked about, I was talking about when I'm rating, I like to think of it as A, B, C, D, F. Because that's really helpful to kind of gauge, okay, a C, that's good. You might want to check it out in the B and an A. And so that's how I was thinking of it. And with my introduction to the quarter system, I have created the quarter system.
I did do it.
I'm rating this a three based on how I re-rated Creepshow and Pet Sematary and all of that business. I rate this a three because, again, if this was a serious movie, no. But the comedy of it had me laughing and had me enjoying the movie. Just like you said, was it great? Was it phenomenal? No, but it was enjoyable. I enjoyed it and I would watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
That's it. Nothing like, you guys can only imagine if the whole end was cut and that's all we had. It was a lot. It was a lot about rating.
I know. we're parsing it down here.
But we do want to tell you what's coming up next week because it's our final week of Flicker Treat. And so next week we have on Wednesday releasing 31, which I'm really excited. Okay, no, I shouldn't be. I should lower my expectation there because I really want to like this Rob Zombie 31 movie. And then we have our Halloween head-to-head. So it's Rob Zombie Halloween against the original Halloween. And we have a special guest, which we will let you know next week, who's going to be on our first guest ever.
Yes, our first guest ever. We're so pumped. It's going to be the most fun ever. So we're really excited.
For 31, we're wearing Halloween costumes and so I have to,
that did not seem confident.
I know, right? This is why. Okay. So we're picking our favorite slasher because we're trying to, you know, find something that we can, you know, do fairly easy with everything going on. And so of course mine's Michael Myers and you know that Tawny loves Chucky. So I was going to buy a mask. Boom. Tawny's like, how are you going to talk with a mask? And I'm like, oh shit. So I have to make my face look like a mask and I'm really nervous. Like, I don't know. I got the white face paint. I put it on my hand today and powdered it and did like the shadowing and it stayed really well. And now I have to figure out how to make, I have the hair. I have Michael Myers hair. So that's cool. But yeah, I'm nervous.
Yeah. I'm nervous too. If anybody can pull off the Michael Myers face, though, I think you can do it. I have full confidence in you. I am not a makeup person, so we'll see how that goes.
I loved your Pennywise makeup, though.
Yeah, you know, one thing I am dedicated.
Yeah.
I'm definitely dedicated to the costume, so I'm going to figure out a way to make it work. So it'll be fun.
So we're excited. We already planned our November. So look out November 1st. You'll see everything we're watching for November and hope that you join along. Remember, you can follow us anywhere, Two Chicks in a Horror Flick, except, and I always imagine that silently, like when we say except, that people are in their cars and their houses and their office, they'll go, Twitter.
They might.
I like to be positive.
I listen to other podcasts that they say similar things over and over again. And so, I like that too. Yeah. It becomes like a sing-songy.
Okay, you're going to really like this. Mark. It reminds me of Freddie Mercury and where everybody could do the do-do-ch, do-do-ch, you know, in the audience. It's literally, okay.
It's that. Totally it's that. It's literally that.
Oh my god. It's literally that.
Felicia's positive. She's an optimistic person.
I'm a big dreamer, dude. Okay. So on Twitter it's Two Chicks HF. And yes, our Patreon Discord community. We have three different levels. They're super freaking cool. We have, what is it? Oh, I remember Cursed and Possessed and what was it? Haunted. Haunted, Cursed, and Possessed are three different levels. They're packed full of really cool stuff. We're very excited. So check that out. Links everywhere, anywhere you go where you're looking for us. Not like if you're on Sears.com or something like that, but is there even Sears anymore? I don't even know. But anyways, you can find it, find links there. And I know I'm talking a lot, Tani. Sorry. I'm all amped. If you feel so inclined to subscribe to us, either wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube, if you want to leave us a rating, we would love it. It's super important in the World Wide Web world. I don't
know. Yes, we would be so grateful.
We would be super, super grateful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so all I got for you.
Do all of those things. And that we hope that you have such a good night and have no nightmares.